You know, there's joy before the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. And I feel that joy today. And I want you to know, I'm really sick today. I don't feel good. And I'm really tired. But I want you to know, I can't smile on the outside, but I'm smiling on the inside. Amen. You know? And it's so precious to God. It's all about Him. It's not about us. So I want to give God the glory for the grace He's poured out in my life. I grew up in a nominal Catholic family at a time when the Mass was in Latin. I was 12 before I even realized there was a connection between Jesus and the Bible. Prior to that time, I already decided on the basis of the strict priestly requirements given at confessionals that I was on my way to hell because I had missed Mass, which was a mortal sin, and lied so many times. I figured there was no spiritual hope for me in Christianity. And I only attended church when my family did. In my early teen years, I became overweight, and the world seemed to turn against me. I was no longer the fastest kid on the block. I no longer had girls flirting with me. That really did happen. I was a depressed loner, and as a result, no longer got excellent grades in school. I couldn't understand why my friends suddenly weren't my friends anymore, and why life seemed to be so painful. After reading in science, my science book, and about the second law of thermodynamics in ninth grade, I realized that the universe would ultimately flatline at absolute zero, and, you know, like a wind-up toy running out of energy, and become dead and cold as a result of what they called entropy. And that caused me a lot of distress as I thought about the fact that everything that could possibly be considered meaningful in life, including loving family relationships, everything would be considered, rendered ultimately hollow and empty and meaningless by that. So I began reading existentialist philosophies, but I found no answers for the deep anguish I felt over the seemingly hopeless human condition of meaningless suffering and misery ending in death. This emotional feeling of despair only became worse as I began to suffer physically from a number of severe health problems that left me confined to bed, attempting to sleep as much as 18 hours a day. I was continually exhausted, drained of energy, increasingly cognitively incapacitated. And though I received a scholarship to a prestigious college, I struggled there to keep grades above failing, and I fell into using and selling psychedelic drugs and amphetamines. I began trying just about every Eastern religion I could find in order to find the answers as to why was I here? You know, where did I come from? Where was I going? As well as why is this world so painful and full of evil? I encountered what I realize now must have been demonic spirits, and I was terrified with the possibility that after death I would encounter one of these evil beings and my soul's travel to be reincarnated. I knew reincarnation was true because I could distinctly remember experiences of past lifetimes, like being a Russian noblewoman in the 1800s with four children, and I could remember details about their lives. My mental life became so disoriented and strange that even those whom society thought to be bizarre were afraid to hang around me. Classmates laughed at me because of my inability to communicate and relate to normal people. My best friend was a tree. That's not a joke. And my only real human friend was a young woman who was slowly coming to the realization I was becoming even too weird and incommunicative for her. The philosophies and Eastern religions I'd been studying were not helping me at all. If everything was Maya or illusion, And if my Atman, my self, was in reality Brahman, God, then why was my life so full of anxiety, horrific fears, unmitigated pain, and physical as well as psychological torment? Did I, as God, invent karma to torture myself? Psychiatrists tried to help me, but they failed as well. The low point in my life came one day. I was lying on my bedroom floor, looking up at the ceiling, and the ceiling started cracking and going in and out. And the walls of my room began moving in and out. And one of my greatest fears came upon me. As in a panic, I realized I was going insane. I was losing control of my mind and of the ability to discern between what was real and what was not. I felt like I was being sucked down in this vortex of this giant black hole whirlpool, and I instinctively knew this was no drug trip or flashback. Instantly, because I'm so smart, I realized that if I was indeed God, then the universe was in big trouble. In that moment, somehow I was given the ability to reason that although I did not believe in the biblical God, if such a God were to exist, an almighty, transcendent, personal, and loving God that was not me, a God something like the Bible describes, then it would be possible, maybe, for a God like that to help me. In my desperation, I immediately cried out to the God of the Bible. And I told him, I don't believe that you exist. But if you do, and if you could help me, please help me. Stop me from going insane. And I will serve you no matter how many lifetimes it takes. That's what I told God. And immediately, the ceiling stopped going in and out, and the walls stopped going in and out. And this great peace came down over me. And I knew that it was the God of the Bible that had done that. And he didn't wait until I had my theology straight. He didn't wait until I got my life cleaned up. He just met me right where I was. He met me right where I was at. I didn't even have faith because I was dead in my sins. But he had compassion and mercy on me and began drawing me to himself. It was such a dramatic encounter, spiritual experience, that a lot of people would think that I was... Thanks. A lot of people would think that I was born again at that point, but I wasn't. But I was immensely grateful to the Lord of the Bible, the God of the Bible, for rescuing me. And therefore, I started reading the Bible. Amen? Nevertheless, since I had not yet been regenerated, I could not really comprehend the Bible because, as I understood later, I was still blinded and controlled by the spirit of the God of this world, as the scriptures call Satan. Furthermore, I was continuing to read occult books and books on astrology and palmistry and witchcraft and, of course, reincarnation. I believed and preached a pagan gospel, a Gnostic gospel, that the snake was the real hero and the true God depicted in the Garden of Eden, while Yahweh, a lesser god called the Demiurge, acted wickedly in attempting to keep Adam and Eve from becoming wise and godlike. What a blasphemy. I was blasphemous. And when I found the works of a professing Christian and healing miracle worker, Edgar Cayce, who also embraced reincarnation, the Bible started making sense to me, finally. The spirit that channeled through Cayce preached a cosmic Christ and a Christ consciousness. It taught each and every person, without regard to what they believed, like a Muslim, or what they did, fornicating liar, could grow and evolve spiritually to become like Christ. Because one, God and the Spirit of Christ is within every human being, and two, we have an unlimited number of incarnations to overcome our failures and attain this Christ consciousness. That sounded wonderful to me. But I was still haunted by fears of encountering those evil entities in my passage to the next life. I wondered if the peace and joy of which the Bible spoke was not mine because I hadn't been baptized as people were in the New Testament. I began trying to baptize myself in bathtubs and sprinklers and water fountains and pools and rivers, anywhere there was water. I intuitively knew I needed some kind of spiritual transformation of some kind, but nothing seemed to work, even though I was praying the Lord's Prayer every day. Then I heard about a reincarnated John the Baptist who was baptizing people in Texas. I thought to myself, wow, that's great. If I'm going to get baptized, the best person to get baptized by is the one who baptized Jesus, right? Made perfect sense to me. I'll get baptized by John the Baptist, right? Praise God. I'm eternally grateful to God that he had a different direction for my life to take. At precisely that time, there's a young man from this Jesus commune farm near Rock City, Illinois, came to where I was staying in Wisconsin and told me about a place where everybody loved God so much that they gave their entire lives to seek and serve him together. He told me that those who wanted to follow the Lord must be baptized in his name, repenting of their sins and receiving the Holy Spirit. He was leaving for what they called the farm the next day and asked if I wanted to come with him. And that night, I saw a picture in my mind's eye of myself being baptized at this commune. In this vision before my mind, I saw people lifting up their hands to worship God, dressed in old-fashioned clothes, with the women wearing long dresses and scarves on their heads. Somehow I knew this was the place at which I was supposed to be baptized and receive that spiritual transformation I needed. When I arrived at the commune, everything was just as I had seen it in my mind's eye. I attended a number of meetings as well as one-on-one sessions in which the gospel was explained and outlined in detail. I'm not certain I completely understood it before I was baptized. However, I do know that at some point I realized I was a sinner against God. When his spirit convicted me, as I was reading Isaiah 53:5-6, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his or her own way. And God has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit opened the eyes of my heart to what the cross of Christ is all about. I saw for the first time he willingly was tortured and put to death because of my sin, my going my own way, rather than living for the one who created and designed me for his honor and purposes. He took the punishment I deserved for sinning against an infinite and holy God, the full righteous wrath of God, poured out on his beloved son who suffered and died in my place. And God granted me repentance. That's something God has to give to you. You have to know the bad news before you can hear the good news. And God allows people's hearts to be opened to see the bad news about their own condition so they can receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened to me. God granted me repentance and faith to put my trust in Jesus as Lord. I believed in my heart that God had raised him from the dead. When I publicly declared my faith in Jesus through baptism, I received the Father's promise of the Holy Spirit, which sealed me as one of his own. The Spirit flooded my entire being with a love, peace, and joy I had never known before. Nobody had to tell me I was a new creation in Christ. As a side benefit of being forgiven of my sins, I no longer had fear of judgment for those sins. I also didn't fear death or those demonic beings I previously encountered any longer, though I now knew they were both stronger than I was and they desired to do me harm. I began to have an insatiable appetite for the Word of God, whose pages for me suddenly were aflame with passion and life and purpose and wisdom and love. And you may have been wondering what happened to those experiences I had of having past reincarnated lives. Before I was baptized, I also wondered why the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. It says in Hebrews 9:27. And I figured that the God who wrote the Bible, if he really was God, couldn't be wrong about something so important. Either the Bible is true, or these recollections, these experiences that I was having of those former life experiences were true. They couldn't possibly both be true. So I decided to believe God, despite what I had experienced, and indeed was experiencing even up to that point. And I told some of the elders about that, and they told me, those encounters must be demonic in origin. They prayed for my deliverance as I was being baptized. And I'm delighted to be able to report that God's word turned out to be true.
Amen.
From the moment I made a public confession of Christ in baptism, those reminiscences no longer bothered me. I knew that I had had them in the past, but they were no longer deceiving me and impacting me as present immediate realities. I finally found purpose and meaning in life. I now knew life is all about Jesus. Everything was created by him and for him, including me. And those people who testified today, we are trophies of his grace and his magnificent victory at the cross. His Spirit's within me to will and to do of his good pleasure, to bring forth the fruit of righteousness to glorify his name, and to bring that work of making me holy to perfection when we meet Christ face to face. In short, I was made to love him, glorify him, and enjoy him forever. And this doesn't happen alone, but together with others in the eternal family of God. We also have been brought into this new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I began to have an almost instantaneous, deep spiritual connection with others from diverse ethnicities, nationalities, social and economic backgrounds who were also regenerated and knew they were part of God's forever family. The love and word of Christ, coming both through God and through the lives of his people, gradually restored my sanity and ability to communicate and relate to other humans. The non-believers who knew me at first thought Jesus was just a trip or a phase I was going through. However, it's been 40 years since I knew Christ had purchased my salvation with his blood. And during that time, by his grace, I've grown in my understanding of the greatness of his person, my trust and faith in him, his words and his promises, and consequently my love for him and willingness to praise and honor him in the only way befitting of his cross and his sacrificial covenant love, to present my body as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, holy and acceptable to God. His Spirit is in the process of maturing and perfecting me in and with Christ, and even though I'm far from faultless, I trust that someday soon will be glorified and made blameless with him by the power of his saving grace. A victory wrought by his blood, shed blood at the cross, and faithfulness of his promises. My love for the Lord Jesus has only grown deeper over the years, and my only desire is to love him more, to live solely for his honor, and to bear fruit for his glory. I noticed that we were going to sing in the service today. One of the songs we're going to sing is Amazing Grace. And some of you know that was written by a man named John Newton, who used to be a slave trader. And one of the things he said that always impressed me was, this is my testimony. He said, I am a great sinner, but Christ is a greater Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.